than these young men and women that go off and fight in our stead. I want to have a concealed handgun permit. They should be afforded to do so because they are trained by the best military in the world. And that's my comment to that one.
Questions for the committee? Seeing none, continue. Unless we interrupt you, you're on a roll.
Well, LD 191, and I'll keep this brief, I'm against it, period. And I'm not going to say any more about it.
Thank you.
That was easy.
Now, are there any questions of this witness? Thank you very much, sir, for coming.
Thank you.
I don't know if I call you a witness as much as just a citizen.
It's rubbing off on you, sir. Jeff Simba.
You sure this guy?
I dare not answer. I dare.
Don't want to get any extra exercise or anything. My name is Jeff Zimba, also testifying for the Sportsman's Alliance of Maine as well today. We'll be speaking on LD 223 and LD 1022. I'll start with 223. I'd like to thank the chairs, Senator Gazowski and Representative Dion, the members of the Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee, for an opportunity to speak on LD 223 and act to amend the laws regarding a concealed handgun permit. The stated purpose of this bill is to change the eligibility of a carry permit from 18 to 21. I find it unnecessary and somewhat offensive. First and foremost, I'm not aware of a rash of misuses of the carry permit system regarding those whose age falls between 18 and 20. If that's the case, we have no problem. We probably need no solution. I don't know how many times I need to bring this up, but these laws only affect those who follow them. Voluntary compliance is the key to all of our laws being effective, and the people this bill would strip of their ability for the most basic right of self-preservation are those who comply and proceed legally, applying for the permit. The bad guy everyone continues to be concerned about in every bill imposing further restriction follows none of these laws, and this legislation does not involve them. It only affects those who play by the rules. As the sponsor brought up, when I signed up for Uncle Sam's Navy, I was either 16 or just barely 17. When I joined a delayed entry program, I was also 17 when I reported for summer camp at Great Lakes, Illinois for basic training. And though my own military career was very short and quite uneventful, to say the least, many young men from 17 to 20 serve our country in hostile environments, using firearms while facing enemy fire. To think that they're old enough to die for Uncle Sam, but not considered old enough to protect themselves and their families at the same time doesn't make any sense to me. Having a special rule for military members and not civilians, however, doesn't seem an equal application of rights, so I don't know if I could agree with that. For several years, I ran a gun shop. It was typically called a cop shop because we were right down the road from the local police academy. And it was not uncommon for applicants to the police academy starting their new careers at 18, 19, 20. And they couldn't purchase their own firearm and some of their duty gear, so they're typically their father or mother would come in and purchase their handgun for them, their duty gun, so they could go through the police academy. The reason that they can't purchase it themselves, but they can own it, is because in Maine it's legal to own a pistol if you're under 21, but it's not legal under federal law to purchase a pistol from a licensed federal firearms dealer under 21. So that's where the conundrum comes in. And unless something has changed recently, 18 years of age has been the age to be able to go into the academy. So I would see that as a continuing problem. And if anyone has any questions on 223? I'd be happy to take them, and I would ask you to please vote against LD 223.
I'd like to put a reminder out, though, to the audience that we don't use electronic equipment. Cell phones, blueberries, laptops, not you.
Oh, okay.
I just like to say that every now and then. I also like to I also like to remind the people that there's empty chairs because people are coming and going, doing other committee business.
Absolutely. Okay. No questions on that one?
No questions.
Okay. The other one I'd like to speak on is LD 1022, an act to improve training requirements for obtaining a concealed handgun permit. If there was ever a bill that I could play devil's advocate on, it's this one. I've had to struggle whether I'm in favor of it or against it. I have no opinion at all. I'll save it until the end, so it's a little suspenseful for you. I don't believe that it's right to require anyone to qualify to exercise a right. We don't ask people in the media to take media class so they don't slander or libel somebody. As it is, people are not treated equal already, because under current law, a citizen can openly carry a firearm with no prior training requirement at all. It's only when the firearm is concealed, it's when it goes from your hip exposed to on your hip with a shirt over it, that all this changes. That's when these training requirements come into play. With that said, I'm a very big proponent of training and education. I continue to take classes to build my own education and my own skill sets absolutely any opportunity that I have. And on Tuesday, I hope I told my wife this, but on Tuesday, after passing in my testimonies, I took off to go to Smith & Wesson Armorer's course to become an armorer for their M&P line, too. So I try to participate in training whenever I can. I'm absolutely certain that the author of the bill and those that desire its passage submitted it in order to get some continuity in the training community. And I understand that. As it stands today, there are some instructors that do little more than talk about firearms for a few hours, fire no live ammo, and send their students out with their certification to pass as proof of proficiency. That's poor. Others are multi-day classes, and they may include running through tires and rappelling from a chopper with several hundred rounds. There is absolutely no continuity. To me, the simple solution is this. The certification, should certification still be part of the permitting system, and we'll find out after this massive pile of bills we're working on shakes out, is to simply require the NRA's basic pistol course or anything above that level. This class is taught by instructors all over the state, has an enormous amount of supporting material with it, workbooks, test flyers, and does require live fire. The course is the most common and most popular, and while it contains an enormous amount of information over 8 hours, the course is minimal. There's a lot of research that's gone into this course and curriculum. It's a very proven and effective class. And in courses I've taught, I've watched students actually morph from bringing a firearm in a pistol. And most of our students are ladies these days. And there's no demographic in the ladies, young and old, experienced, unexperienced with firearms. They bring the firearm in a paper bag like it's something less desirable in that paper bag with their nose curled up. I mean, they're not comfortable with these at all. And after 8 hours of going over it, they're smiling, they're looking into further training, they're trying each other's pistols, they're getting competitive with each other. So there's a comfort level. You get confidence and competence that come with a course like this. In summary, I don't like the idea of making anyone qualify in order to exercise the right of self-preservation, but if this legislature finds it necessary to pass a training requirement, the NRA basic pistol class is a stellar baseline to follow with years of experience and available classes at the ready now for an affordable fee. In its present wording, if you must keep a requirement, please consider this course or those above, and I'd be happy to bring an entire class packet to you at the workshop if it would help you understand what the course entails. And the class that John Hackett testified about is the next step above this basic pistol course, and it is a fantastic class, absolutely wonderful class.
Okay. Questions from the committee? Senator Plummer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My only request would be if it's possible if we could get it before the workshop so that we could look at the packet.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Questions from the committee? I might have just one. It seems to me that we have a lot more uniform training how to drive automobile than we do on how to fire a gun to have a concealed weapons permit. Would that be accurate? Not better, just uniform.
Oh, well, I don't know. I know what was in my driver's ed course, but I don't know what's in anybody else's driver's ed class. Possibly.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'll ask that question again later to the state police. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Chair would call Kate Dufour.
From out of the corner comes Kate Dufour.
Senator Grzowski, Representative Dion, and members of the Criminal Justice Committee. My name is Kate Dufour, and I'm here on behalf of the Maine Municipal Association to provide testimony in opposition to LD 222. As you heard in the sponsor's presentation, there are 494 communities in the state of Maine. Over 300 of them have already availed themselves of the state police to provide the concealed weapons permits. There's still about 130 or so that choose to do that locally. And they essentially are doing it for two reasons. The first is they believe, they take that authority seriously, and they believe there's a public safety element associated with it, and they prefer to provide that service locally. The other is municipal officials